So, have you ever been to New Orleans?
I have many times.
I have been once as well. And if you've ever been there, you know that music is everywhere in that place. You can't walk 4 feet without running into a band coming out of a building, someone just jamming on the street.
Even if there's a funeral, even if somebody dies, it's like an awesome music party.
Well, and these are, especially these funeral processions, there's this movement, these second line parades that have developed out of funeral processions. And a lot of bands have become really identified with those second lines. And I got a chance to talk with one of these bands. They're called the Hot 8 Brass Band. And they were featured in Spike Lee's HBO documentary, When the Levees Broke. This band has now partnered up with a music critic named Larry Blumenfeld and a guy named Omo Moses, who started something called Finding Our Folk Project. And the purpose of that group is to talk to students around the country about the need to preserve the culture and the music in New Orleans that's been kind of ripped
Yeah,
apart after the storm.
everybody left because, you know, there was nothing there.
Yeah, thousands of people have been displaced. This band has now gotten back together and they're on this speaking tour around the country, serving as kind of ambassadors of music and culture of New Orleans. I met up with Larry and Omo and Benny Pete, who's the tuba player, huge guy from the Hot 8, during their recent visit to New York. And Benny recounted for me how, after a few weeks after the storm had passed, a handful of their band members borrowed some instruments from a school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and they went in search of an audience. They found them in a shelter for evacuees.
We knew they were there because that's where they were housing the evacuees, and we just showed up and you know we were going there on our mind to kind of just share what we had, just share with each other when we reunited and when we saw how the reaction was of the people who turned out, you know. So we was like we wanted to spread some more of that love. And when they saw it was us, a lot of them people we knew, it was family members, some family members, a lot of friends, a lot of fans of the band. So once we seen their faces, you know, it was like everybody had forgot about the storm and everything they went through just for that moment.
Can you explain to people who've never experienced that what a second line is like?
Easiest and quickest way I could say, just like a moving party or a moving concert, you know. That'd be, you know, the simplest way to put it, but it go deeper than that, you know, because it's really a lot of people who just expressing itself in any way, and there's no rules, and you know, no wrongs, no rights. You can do whatever you feel, you know. I see people jump off in the mud, you know, and just have fun. They don't care if it start raining; they're not running out for shelter. They want to feel the rain, you know. It's just expressing whatever they're going through in their life. They get to feel like, you know, at that time they don't have any worries. They can just let go. I mean, but when we see that, we react to it, and we might come up with a new song right then and there just because we feel it. And we feel them wanting, you know, more from us.
Can I ask you, Larry, how you got wrapped up in this story?
I'd been working as a journalist and a jazz critic for 20 years, but after Katrina, I felt a very specific concern and outrage about culture, and I thought that there was a good chance that there was, you know, in the most significant cultural city in this country, there was a danger of some really vital stuff being lost, and I didn't hear people talking about that. The music critic in me understood that the Hot 8 was one of the most interesting of the brass bands to blend hip-hop and really, you know, contemporary to the minute music and style with that tradition. What's been really interesting is the ways in which all the things that have happened have led them also back more deeply into the tradition that they come from. This is what New Orleans is about. And it really is, to me, you know, there's a thriving jazz world in New York and elsewhere. But in New Orleans, what the Hot Eight are part of, what the Black Men of Labor are part of, what the Mardi Gras Indians are part of, this is a living culture. Things in New Orleans tend to exist on more than one level, and it's pretty much how deep do you want to go in understanding it. And Benny's right. On one level, it's this rolling concert, rolling party. And if CNN were to show 10 seconds of it, that's what it would appear like. But if they showed 10 minutes of it, you'd see all these different elements that are steeped in a history that runs from slavery to Reconstruction to post-Katrina New Orleans. And all of that is dealt with in the space of what these guys and dancers and social aid and pleasure clubs do.
Can I ask you guys what you hope when you go to play at a school or an event, whether it's down in Mississippi and New Orleans or even up here, what do you hope people take away from your music?
Well, I don't know. It's just been like magic. We never really had that problem because once we play, I mean, people, they come up to us and let us know what they're feeling. You know, we can see their reaction right then and there because when we come out, we kind of read the crowd. You know, if it's older people, we figure we might play more traditional because we figure that's what was the music of their era and their time when they was younger, you know. And if it's younger people, we probably, you know, play more even hip-hop or R&B. It depends on what age bracket we see, and if it's a mixture, we mix the music. And that usually works. That's how we usually reach them, because they could relate. If not, we really just would like share the experience of New Orleans with them. And they could take it for what they want, you know what I'm saying? But we put it out there and let them feel it. And that's another reason why we like to touch every era of the music, you know what I'm saying? For they can see that we're versatile and also that they could see and feel it and feel the experience. Because every song and every chant or every song, we, you know, they have some lyrics to it, they have meaning to it, and that's what we be striving to do, you know, reach their heart and their soul, if anything, if nothing else, you know.
Omo, if you don't mind explaining to me what's happening today and what is the Finding Our Folk program?
The Finding Our Folk tour is a student-organized response to Hurricanes Katrina and Rita and how that impacted folks in the Gulf Coast. And at the center of that was culture. And you looking at how we use culture to bring folks back together again. Part of what we've tried to do with the band is that, you know, you have a platform from the stage to speak to people. What's unique about New Orleans and the Brass Bands is you have the streets, so the music isn't disconnected from the streets. And so generally with jazz and other forms of music, it's an artifact. So you buy a CD, you know, you look at it on television, but it's not up close and personal and right around the corner from your house. And so the musicians are people you can touch and feel and be in relationship with. Part of what we try to do is we want people in Boston, we want people in Oakland, people in Texas, people in Chicago to see a connection between what the band is doing as they're rebuilding as a band, as their city is rebuilding as a city, and the issues that they're struggling with on a personal level and at a community level. And so issues around quality education present in New Orleans in a dramatic way. But those are also present in any major urban city in the country. Issues around health, issues around kind of your relationship to your environment, how it impacts you, how you impact it. All of that is present in New Orleans. So how can we bring that to people and get them to see how the band is dealing with this, how folks in New Orleans are dealing with this, and how we need to be in relationship with each other, even if you're not in this particular area, around struggling with some of these issues that we all face.
There are these tools or lessons that can be applied to the rebuilding of the Gulf Coast after the storms. What are those? What are those tools? What are those facets of that culture or the music that can be used to rebuild?
You know, that music out there, I mean, it really, like, dictate people's behavior, you know, and, you know, because when we play a slow dirge, you can feel them, you know, everybody kind of calm down, and, you know, we take them to that, you know, to that, they capture that moment of the dirge, you know, and everything that it means, you know, if we're playing Closer Walk or anything like that, I mean, and we go from that to an upbeat, uplifting song, and they could feel it, you know, and they react to it. So, I mean, when you see that power right there in the music, you have people doing that, you know that that's a tool.
Of singing.
I totally recognize these songs from my days at Gospel Outreach Christian Fellowship, Bothell, Washington.
They're great songs. They're great songs. And this
we didn't have the Hot 8 Brass Band, by the way.
Yeah.
Darlene Stevenson on an out-of-tune piano, but anyway.
So this music did not even come from a CD. I got to go see these guys. It was really, really fun. We took Jacob Gans, our intrepid director, producer, and I went and saw the Hot 8 perform at a Harlem high school, the Urban Assembly High School for Performing Arts in Harlem. This was part of their tour. So they're traveling around to middle schools and high schools, talking to kids about music and the history of New Orleans music, but also they're talking about their stories, what happened to them when they were displaced. And this is the stuff the kids really wanted to know about. You know, we were in this assembly hall, and the kids were getting up and jamming and dancing and totally enjoying the music. But then when it was time for the Q&A, they really wanted to hear these guys talk about how the storm affected their lives and their families. They're like, did you lose all your instruments? I'm like, yeah, it was tough, you know? We couldn't find anything to play on. So it was really fun to see them interacting with the kids because so clearly they're more comfortable being musicians. And
right.
All of a sudden they're thrust into this spotlight where they're talking, they're ambassadors, they're educators, and they're still trying to find their footing in that way, but it was fun to watch them tell their stories and talk about this music that's clearly so important to them. The trumpet player, Raymond Williams, was one of the founding members of this band, and we've got a clip of him talking to the kids.
I'd like to just go back on the history of the music because coming up as a young musician, I didn't know much about the music, the history of the of New Orleans music. Oh, just music in general, how the music developed here in America. All I wanted to do was play the trumpet, just get better at it, and just practice. But I never realized how important it is to know the history, just like knowing the history of yourself. It's very important for you to know who you are and where you came from.
So it was really neat to see.
It must have been so cool for those kids. You're growing up in Harlem. I'm sure, you know, have been seeing lots of stuff on TV about Katrina and this and that, but you actually get these guys that were there, or at least know New Orleans. That must have been like a totally cool opportunity for those kids.
And these guys knew their audience, and they were playing songs that kind of combined hip-hop, and the kids were totally into it. You know, this is a performing arts high school, so these guys are into music, they're into performing, and it was really neat to be able to witness their interaction.
Well, Rachel, excellent piece. Jacob Gans, excellent cut. You know, it's just an amazing staff we have here at the Old Bryant Park Project, which is now wrapped up for this hour on Friday, December 7th. Our staff includes MJ Davis, Dan Pashman, Angela Ellis, and Wynn Rosenfeld.
We are ably assisted by Manoli Weatherall, Josh Rogerson, and Manya Zuba.
As we've now mentioned three times in the last 45 seconds, Jacob Gans directs our show.
Trisha McKinney is our editor. Laura Conway edits our website and our blog.
Our senior producer, who we love, is Matt Martinez. Sharon Hoffman is our executive producer. I'm Luke Burbank.
And I'm Rachel Martin. Allison Stewart is back with us on Monday. We are on digital, FM, satellite, and online at npr.org. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
With audio assistance from Neil Rausch.